How many people here have finished all their New Year's resolution? You've completed it? You've accomplished it the first week? How many of you forgot what it was? I didn't even know I was supposed to do all of that this year. My goodness, I got to go back and say, that stuff happens. Every year, we make a resolution, beginning of the year and stuff, and then I think they said by the second week, most people have abandoned their New Year's resolution. Now we're in October. You know, somebody said that they were going to start giving more to their local church or charities, what have you. Some people believe that they were going to lose more weight, and that's always one of the things that I say I'm going to do, but ends up October. I mean, then you got a birthday, and then you got a holiday, then you got, you know, it's Labor Day weekend. Well, it's the 4th of July. You got to cook out. You got to have cookouts. Family's coming into town. You got to cook again. What's going on? But ask yourself this question. Whether if it's the finished school or what have you, ask yourself, how come I haven't finished yet? What's the excuse? What's the excuse? Why is it so hard around the same time every single year? It seems like you just hit a wall. Every single time around the same time every single year you hit a wall. I heard somebody once said, traditions. Some people set goals or New Year's resolutions because it's the tradition that we do. A kid once said, traditions is just peer pressure by old dead people. I kind of like that. And sometimes we can be peer pressured into doing something that everybody else wants us to do. If we are running our race, then there are going to be obstacles that may get in our way that may want to slow you down. But one of our favorite things to do, like when we go on a trip, we don't take many vacations, but our, you know, if you have kids that play sports, that's basically your vacation. You know, you're going to all these other towns and stuff. So we make it a point that we do not eat at any restaurant that Hayes has to offer. I'm not eating at no fast food chain or what have you. We're going to eat something, you know, that's new. But it still ends up being the same thing. You only have steak so many times. Chicken fingers. I used to think my wife did not know how to read. Because there's a movie that I watched a long, long time ago. There was a guy, I don't know if anybody remember, but he would just order a hamburger and fries everywhere he went. And the dude picked up on it and says, they don't serve that here, order something else. Well, I just have the chicken. They don't have that here, order something else. He was trying to get him to, I was like, babe, everywhere we go, chicken fingers, chicken tenders, or what have you. Do you know how to read? They got other stuff on the menu. Of course she does. There was this time, TJ's, it was like the summer of TJ's senior year. I made it a point, I'm losing weight. So we were in Dallas playing, and then they had this big old track around the gyms and stuff. So you can walk around and still watch the game. So before the game would start, everybody's waiting for the next team to play and stuff. I was walking. Got my headphones in. I'm walking. I'm determined. I'm just stepping. The game will start up. I'll stop and watch. Timeout is called. I'll do a lap. Come back around. And everybody's laughing. I was just looking at Tim. I said, I didn't care. I was determined. I was going to get those steps in. I was going to get 10,000 steps, 12, however many that I needed for that day, man. I was purposed in my heart that I was going to lose and lost quite a bit. What happened? Well, you get stuck. Title of this message is Getting Unstuck. And a lot of times in our lives, we can get stuck. We can get stuck doing the same old thing over and over and over again, and it just becomes the way of life. Well, how do we get unstuck? We're going to check this out. See, when you're running your race, the Bible says you will not stumble. Jesus is able to keep you from falling. In Proverbs 4:12, This is New Living Translations. It says, when you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. See, when you are walking with the Lord, nothing and even no one can hold you back. When you stay connected to the main source of life, your light will not dim out when you're with Jesus. Another one is how challenging are the goals that you set? Anyone can set easy goals. I was watching a show. It's the Office. Everybody set New Year's resolutions. Cree's goal was to do a cartwheel. That's it. Well, I accomplished it. He didn't really do a cartwheel. It was just all, but it wasn't really much fun. If it's so easy for you to accomplish, it doesn't require God. So you got to set challenging goals. When you set challenging goals, you have these little points that you, little markers that you can make that basically is saying, okay, you're on the right track. You're not there yet, but you're on the right track. So by the end of the year, you should be where you're at and where you want to accomplish it. As long as you just keep setting these markers. If your goals are challenging, whether if it's to get out of debt, do it. That's not going to happen overnight. It can, supernaturally. And we do serve a supernatural God. But if those things aren't challenging, then you're less likely to take them on. Because here's the thing, you know yourself all too well, and if you set goals that are easy to accomplish, the rest of the year you would just be laid back, and it would be a lot easier for you to end up being stuck before the year is out. We can't always hit that easy button in life. Sometimes you may want to. Hit that easy button. Boom. Somebody else do that for me. You set the goals. No one else can set them for you. If the goals that you are setting are challenging, then it helps to bring out the lion that's really on the inside of you. You're going to realize that you have more fight than what you thought you had. Something that is challenging allows you to be more creative. It gets you to the place to where you have to depend more upon the word of God, and not just the word of God, but the voice of God. In Psalms 29:4, it says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. When things get to be a bit too challenging, the first thing that some people may do is start to grumble and complain. Gets too hard. That's the easiest thing to do. And we can't go through life always complaining about who did what. They won't talk to me. They won't help me. They won't do this for me. Early in this passage, David is looking over this thunderstorm. This thunderstorm is getting ready to sweep over Israel. And he has an opportunity to say, man, we had all these festivities planned out for us. I mean, we were going to have a great time, but now this thunderstorm is just coming. He didn't take that time to complain. He took that time to praise. David didn't take the time to complain. He ended up praising him. It's way too easy to complain about everything that is going on, but if you can just shift your complaint to praise, it will change the atmosphere around you, and it will help calm the storm that's in you. See, it's not for them to do it. It's for you. It's for them to help you to become accountable and to see you through it. Now, it's the person of your choosing here. When you do that, when you're doing these goals, it's insane to try to hold somebody else accountable when they have no clue that you're doing it. You know, being in the ministry, well, I just believe that, you know, I'm helping Pastor Robert Morris. I'm holding him accountable for what he's doing. Robert Morris don't even know me. He don't even know. He probably don't even know I exist, but I can't do that. And sometimes people will think they're holding them accountable. Wait a minute, do they know you're holding? See, you got to have that communication. You got to have that talk with. It isn't like it's a parole, like you're on parole and you're a probation officer and you got to go and talk to them. I said, no, it goes both ways. Some people are holding you accountable. You don't even know it. And all they're just doing is tattletelling. Robert Morris has all the help he needs around him and the men that he allows to speak into his life for quite some time, he's doing pretty good. He don't need my help. Sometimes you have to stop trying to set ourselves up of being the executor of someone else's estate without them knowing. So if no one came to you to help them be accountable to accomplish their goals, then you weren't picked. Key word, they have to come to you. They have to come to you. They have to reach out to you. You can set up accountability in four ways. One of the ways is hire a coach. Some people have those life coaches and all that stuff. They know what they're doing. Some people have, you know, those trainers in the weight rooms, and they're crazy as I don't know what. I mean, they'll get you right and tight, and they won't allow you to back down worth a second. I mean, get yourself a coach. It'll be good for you. If you want to pay for somebody to yell at you and make you feel horrible about yourself, but afterwards it's going to pay out in the end. Go right ahead. Hire yourself a coach. They're trained professionals. Second thing is technology. They have a bunch of apps on your phone that you can do. You may have to subscribe to some. Costs a little bit of money, but you know what? They do have those plans broken down. They do have those goals. They do have those financial plans and all that stuff, weight goals, weight loss, Weight Watchers, all that stuff to help keep track of it. It's going to cost a little bit, but it's worth the price if you stick to it. Another thing, three and four, is that if you have a friend, tell them. Make sure it's a good friend. Make sure it's a friend that's going to hold you accountable, and you can hold him accountable. Another is you can start a group or join a group, a men's group, a women's group. If there's no men's group, create one. You don't have to wait for me. Well, he ain't got no men's group going on. I'd rather you spend time with your family. Your family needs you there. I don't need you here 7 days a week. I'm not even out here 7 days a week. Spend some time with your family, your wife. Amen or oh me. Spend some time with your children. So you can hold Zoom meetings online with other people that are going through the same situation as you. Bounce ideas off each other. But make sure you just keep God the center of everything you're doing. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. A core group of people is a lot better than being by yourself. So there is strength in numbers. And it doesn't take much to get there. Three is what was needed. A three cord is not easily broken. Get you some friends. If you don't have any friends, make you some friends. That's part of our table talk. Find yourself a friend if you don't have one. Be genuine with them. Be real with them. The motive behind what we do is to have the heart of Jesus when helping out those who actually need it. So what really matters most right here? Change starts by reading his word daily. I don't like to read, Pastor. Man, how can you read all of those these and thous? And there's different translations, so you don't have that excuse now. But what about all the hard names in the Old Testament? Do I have to read all of those? I said, well, by the Spirit, the helping of the Holy Spirit to help you read those. And even with all the genealogies there, I know it can get long. But see, here's the thing. They have this thing, this Bible app that can read it for you. And you can listen to it as you walk. You can listen to it as you work. You can listen to it as you're just going around to the house cleaning. You can listen to it on your way to work or on a trip that you're going somewhere. You can listen to the word. We're really without excuse. They made it pretty easy for us. But part of getting unstuck is getting into this word. You have to make yourself read it. Make yourself read it. even when you don't feel like it. I know we talked about feelings and emotions last Wednesday, and not to be governed by our feelings and emotions, but you know, when we were singing that last song, joy is an emotion. That's okay to be led by that. How many of you got joy on the inside? How many of you just shout for no reason? Y'all ever just praise him for no reason? Y'all don't ever have a praise break? Man, y'all need to get a praise break in your life. I'm serious. Something good happened, praise break. If you got to stop at a red light and get out your car and dance, praise break. I get praise breaks all the time in my truck. People be walking by and just looking at me. I don't care. Just drive on off. He looks like he's talking to himself. Praise break. Y'all got to get a praise break. Adopt one. Take the word everywhere you go. You have it on your phone. You have a Bible. My dad framed houses, growing up framed houses. So I know when I was working with him and stuff, when we work on the weekends, we used to hate it. We'd be sitting there because he'd get up about 3-4 o'clock in the morning because he had to drive about 2 hours to get there. And we would be laying on a Saturday morning. I kid you not, we would be upset when some of his workers were, because my dad would take some of the unruly people in the world and people who had addictions and stuff, and he'd give them a job, show them how to manage their money and do their banking, get their Social Security all taken care of and stuff, and help them, you know, teach them a trade so that they can take care of their families. But sometimes they want to go and party on payday. Friday was payday. They go and party a little bit late. So if they didn't show up for work, we'd be sitting there just, please don't say my name. Please don't. Please call Swanson. Call Junior. Somebody. So I don't want to go. I got plans today. Tim, get up. Oh, doggone it. All right, so we got to go to work. But see, there were some times when lunch comes. We're sitting there eating lunch. It's about an hour lunch. And we'll all eat. Lunch truck comes out there. We're all eating, and he'll be in a truck reading his Bible. Every opportunity. And we work 10, 12 hours a day. I said, and he's there at lunch reading his Bible. Take your Bible with you. All that chaotic stuff going on at work, just take your Bible, get in your car, and just chill with God. Just spend some time. Refresh yourself. Kind of helps you to get unstuck. That way that you can be ready for whatever problems come in your way for the next 3-4 hours. It's very easy to get worn out when you're not tapping into the source. We get dried up. Take your Bible with you. And Job 23:12 says, I have not departed from his commands, but I have treasured his word more than daily food. Now, how can Job treasure God's word when the word wasn't even written when he was alive? He didn't have anything to go off of. But one thing for sure is that he knew that God was a good God. He was a faithful God. He was a just God. And if anyone in the history of mankind ever had a free pass to complain, that was Job. Man, he had everything taken from him. Everything. Everything stripped from him. Children was killed, and he was covered from head to toe with boils. He had to use a piece of ceramic in order to scrape his bowls because the boils, because they were itching him so much. All for what? Because Satan wanted to have his way with him. His wife wanted him to curse God and die. Just give up. In chapter 6, verse 24, he says, teach me and I will do what? Hold my tongue. Cause me to understand why I have erred. See, Job was tapping into something that wasn't for that era yet. We have it in fullness. Well, more than Job does. Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. But Job didn't even have this back in the day. He didn't have his word. It says, teach me and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. We know that our mouths can kind of get us in trouble. Job was praying and offering up sacrifices for his children just in case they had cursed God while they were out there partying. Teach me where I have erred. I will hold my tongue. You can get yourself stuck with your words, or you can get yourself unstuck with your words and keep yourself from ever getting stuck again. With what? Your words. So the answer in everything is life is Jesus. Everything in life is Jesus. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing good things, but it does mean that you do have the good shepherd that's living on the inside of you, and he wants to live through you. Job can lean on the words that we have today. We have it even better in the covenant that we have. We don't know what it's like to live under Satan's rule because Jesus stripped Satan from everything that he had. Yet, Job, teach me. Can we say, God, teach me to hold my tongue? Teach me to set a watch over my mouth? Job didn't have the authority and power because it was given to. He didn't even know that there was an enemy. We know it. But yet sometimes we still do complain with far less things that's happened to us. I don't know what it's like to get everything stripped away from me because I ain't never really had anything. You got to start with something first. When you broke, busted up and disgusted, I mean, go ahead and take it. What you want, my broken remote with the no back to it? Go ahead. Got one battery in it. Take it. No, I don't have that now. We got Vizio, so we're good. But we don't know what that's like because everything that Jesus did for us is so far better than what Job ever had, but yet God restored unto him double. We have Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. We have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Why are we complaining? Job knew that the one true God was faithful. God has not changed over time, but we need to change if we are ever to get unstuck from doing the same old thing. Year after year, we start in the Word. We have this big old Bible plan that we're going to do. I'm going to read 365 days. How many have read through the Bible once? Twice? Three times? Keep holding them up. Four times? Five times? Six times? You got nothing but time. That's one thing you can't get back is time. Did you learn anything, Randy? A few things, huh? But see, the thing is, it's easy to stay mediocre. Takes little to no effort to stay mediocre. So getting unstuck is like sitting in a beanbag for hours. Anybody ever sat in those? See, it's a lot easier when you're athletic. When you're young, you can just pop up, spring up like it's nothing. Psh, do it now. Grab some popcorn because it's going to be a show. But you know what? If you're sitting in that beanbag, you're going to need some help up. Makes it a whole lot easier. Makes it a whole lot easier to do life with people that you know that you can trust to help pull you up from where you're at, to help get you unstuck. So get you a friend that will pull you up from that beanbag and then say, don't ever get in that thing again. That's not for you. Here's a nice chair right here. I remember I bought, just a side trail, I bought a chair. We were getting new furniture for our new house and where we're still living at. And remember that round chair that I had? Now, how many times did I really sit in that chair? It was a nice round chair. It looked cool. Got it from Ashley Furniture. And it was round and nice, and it spins. I sat in that chair maybe twice. I could have got me a nice little love seat or sofa seat chair. No, I got that chair that was this far deep and you can't really sit to the back and now your feet are dangling off. And everybody knows in my family, I don't like sitting at high tops because they don't have the bar where your feet can hang because my legs aren't that long. So now my feet are just dangling. No, can we sit at a booth, please? I don't want to look like I'm a 47-year-old child. But when you have somebody who's there to help make life that much better, it's hard to stay mediocre. Jesus could have done all this stuff, this redemption stuff, by himself and would have won, would have came out victorious. But he chose his 12. He chose his 12. He chose those people around him, and he chose his 3 that he shared intimate things with. He chose to do ministry with other people. But notice this, he never allowed other people to stop him from spending time with the Father. No matter how bad it got, no matter how worse it got, no matter how much the religious leaders were trying to come, no matter what, he always took the time to get away and spend time with the Father. So how do you get unstuck when it comes to your relationship with Jesus? Well, first, you have to admit that you're stuck. Jesus knows everything you're getting ready to tell him. He knows the number of hairs that are on your head. And Lord, I've lost a few. You still know that number. I'm calling them back in the name of Jesus so I can let my hair grow out again and get that bun we were talking about. I'm just playing. Afro puffs. No, I'm just playing. But it's not something you have to be bashful about, but it is something that you have to be honest about with him. Just say, Lord, I need your help. I just feel stuck right now. I don't know what to do. Just be cool with it. Just be honest with him. He knows already. You know, if you get an answer for him, then trust him. His word says all of his promises are yes and amen for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. All of these promises, all of these promises. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. How crazy is it for us to want something outside of this? Honestly, I think we have to be a little bit prideful or arrogant to say, God, I don't want all of these. I want this one thing over here. That you said that I couldn't have, but I still want it anyway. All of this are promise. All of these promises are yes and amen. And we can receive them by faith in him. He took care of the hard part for us. Getting unstuck is saying yes to Jesus and being intentional when it comes to your relationship with him. Intentional. You're meaning to do it. It's not you setting an alarm and what have you. I said, no. I don't need an alarm to tell me when it's time to say I need to talk with Jesus. I don't need an alarm. Now, let's get down and let's do business. Let's sit down and let's talk, Lord. I need your help. We don't have to become so prideful in that. Because he wants to help you. He wants to lead you. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, it says, lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall make your path straight or direct your path, depending on which version you're reading. Just be honest with him. I'm trying to hide it from him. He knows it already. Just be honest with him. What is it you want the Lord to do for you? Sir?
Give me strength.
Give me strength. In his weakness, in your weakness, this is when he's strong. Give you strength. To live, to walk, to get up, to what? Be specific.
I've prayed to heal me, but I've learned that I need to have the energy and strength to do this, to heal, because I can heal this mind, so I can do his work. Because it's like fixing something, and am I going to continue? The same route I'm already doing, or what, I'll be a better person, be a better husband, you know, that's why I want the strength to be a better person, so I can do his work.
Amen. Amen. So hallelujah. Well, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Don't give me a head nod. Stand up and walk. Come. In the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing in his body. We need healing in his body. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, we command healing right now in the name of Jesus. Bones, we command you to be strengthened like they were before.
Amen.
Like the days of young. We thank you, Jesus. Blood, we continue to flow through every part of your body, unclogged, unhindered in the name of Jesus. Amen. You agree to that?
Amen.
All right. We all agree.
Hallelujah.
Don't back off.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Leave that walker alone. Get unstuck. We have to get to the place to where we stop feeling sorry for ourselves. God loves you. But again, joy is an emotion. And some of y'all need y'all praise break.
Hallelujah.
Y'all ready to test it out? I'm gonna get y'all out of y'all comfort zone so good. Stand up. Everybody stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Hallelujah. For 15 seconds, I just want y'all to give God the glory. I want y'all to give him a praise break. If you got to get up out of your chair, dance around or what have you, give him a praise break in the name of Jesus. Why? You got to get unstuck. Y'all ready? Here we go. Go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Honor and praise God. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I apologize for my family over here because I think they grew up in a Catholic church. They're acting like they grew up in a Catholic church. No, Pentecostal, charismatic, there was none of that. Y'all grew up in a church where people praise. I was coming in here and Pronny was running the aisles. John Guest was blowing my ear off because he was over here whistling. Come on now. For everything that Jesus has done, Why are we shy about that? If there's one place that we can praise him, it's in his place of worship. We don't have to be shy about that. We are the church. Amen? So I'm going to give you a 7-second break. Let's see if they can get 7 seconds. Let's see if I can get my wife to raise her hand. You know I'm going to get it later on, but I don't care. I'm going to Wichita later on, so she ain't going to see me until tomorrow. Y'all ready? Here we go. Go, go, go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. You are so good. You are so awesome, Lord. Thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We give you the glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Got to get the praise and worship team back up here. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated. Thank you. Still and get her. We'll get her. She likes to be a toe tapper. Can you get 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 26, please? Your first step to getting unstuck, get your praise on. Turn to Jesus. Admit that you're stuck. Spend some time with him. And afterwards, give him thanks for what he's done, for who he is. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, it says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." We are getting ready to receive the communion, then we'll do offering afterwards. Ushers, you can come on up. He said he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." The blood of Jesus is what washes away our sins. The blood of Jesus makes you spiritually alive. In John 6:53, and you can get this stuff online and in the Word of God, it says, Jesus replied to them, "Listen to this eternal truth. Unless you eat the body of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have eternal life." The blood of Jesus will help you overcome the enemy because of the blood. In Revelation 12:11, the Passion Translation says, "They conquered him completely through the blood of the Lamb and the powerful word of his testimony. They triumphed because they did not love and cling to their own lives, even when faced with death." So you don't have to walk around in defeat anymore, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what the world says. The blood of Jesus has declared you to be righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God through our union with him." Righteousness means right standing with the Father. He became sin that knew no sin. Jesus became something that he hated. He became sin. You are protected from judgment. In Exodus 12:27, "And you will reply, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the house of the Israelites in Egypt. And though he struck the Egyptians, he spared our families." When Moses had finished speaking, all the people bowed down to the ground and worshiped. God's judgment and wrath has been quenched because of what Jesus did on the cross. The scripture says it pleased God to crush him because Jesus was fulfilling God's redemption plan, the Father's redemption plan, to get mankind back into fellowship with him. Whether you know this or not, here's the thing. No matter how you feel, no matter what people say about you, you are God's greatest creation. Amen? So as you come up and receive communion with your families, come on up and partake in the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus. Amen? Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Jesus, we thank you that if we have any odd against anyone, Father God, help us to get over that and cleanse us from all that unrighteousness, Lord. And we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So come on up. receive offering, but I'll give somebody this right here. I'll take 7% royalty if you come up with that ordeal for the stools. Short legs. That, I'm not the only one that got that problem. So you can something that'll snatch onto it and you can put your foot on that. You'll be good to go. It's a $1 million idea right there for you.
I have that issue too. Short legs, long back. That's what I got too. So, quick announcement. There's Women's Tuesday morning, October 3rd, 11 a.m. at Denise's house, 506 West 36. So if you have questions, contact her. And today I want to talk about getting outside of your tent. In Genesis 16:5, it says, "And he brought him outside his tent into the starlight and said, 'Look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" See, when God promised Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations, Abraham was like 75 years old. And can you imagine what that felt like? I was almost 40 when we had Brian, and I knew what that felt like. It looked impossible, but God was saying, "Abraham, as long as you're in the tent, all you see is you and Sarah. You're only focused on what you can accomplish. You have to get outside of your tent and look up. Bring me into the picture. I'm your heavenly father. Get your eyes off the impossibilities and keep your eyes on me." See, when you're in your tent, all you see is your limitations, how you were raised, what you can't do. You have to get out of your tent and have a bigger vision. You're not doing life on your own. Your heavenly father controls the universe. He makes ways when you don't see ways. If you get a new perspective and start believing that good things are coming, you'll see your heavenly father turn the impossible situations into anything possible. As we receive today's tithes and offerings, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you that you're taking us outside our tents and removing the impossibilities for us. We just thank you that we need to quit putting limitations on ourselves and quit putting limitations on you by doing that. Lord, we just need to trust you in what your word says, and we just honor you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're just going to go right back around again. That's what... Y'all may stand. You can stand. Now be intentional about this. Invite someone out to lunch today. All right? Amen? Thank you. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And we thank you that you're helping us to get unstuck in our lives, Lord. And because mediocrity is not who you are. You are a supernatural God. And Father God, and if we're not living a supernatural life, then it's superficial. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.